Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praises in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, you can't say she didn't warn them. She warned each one of her three little piggies before they left the house that day. She said to them, "This sty is too full. You need to leave and build a house of your own. But make sure, mind you, that you build it out of bricks." She knew that brickyard was going to be quite the hike for her poor three little piggies. They had to go all the way through the farmer's field, through the woods, and then many blocks into town to reach the brickyard. But she warned them it would be well worth it, considering there was a big bad wolf about who was more than likely to huff and puff and blow their house down if they built out anything other than bricks. Unfortunately, as you good and well know, her warning fell on deaf ears, at least for the most part. Her youngest little piggy, Porky, I think was his name, he barely even made it into the farmer's field before he called it quits. He was feeling a little tired, a little lazy. He didn't want to make that long hike. And besides, he was pretty sure what his mom had told him about the big bad wolf was a bunch of hogwash. And so he stopped right there, and there just happened to be a very convenient pile of straw, and so he made his house out of that and then frolicked and played the rest of the day away, practically living life high on the hog. His older sister, the middle child, Petunia was her name, she did a little bit better than Porky, but not much. She remembered her mother's warning. She made it all the way through that farmer's field, that warning spurring her on. But then she made the mistake of looking back, and she saw her younger brother, Porky. What a good time. He was happy, and he was going hog wild. He was practically in hog heaven back there. He was happy as a pig in mud. And so she became a little jealous, and she wanted to be like him. And she compromised and decided to stop right there and build her house out of what was most convenient and on the edge of that farmer's field where it met the woods. Well, she gathered up some sticks and made her house out of that. And as she laid the last stick in the foundation, she thought to herself, well, at least when Mama comes to visit, she'll think I did better than Porky back there, who didn't even make it through the field and who built his house out of straw. And then she too went and frolicked and played the rest of the day away. It was only the oldest little piggy, Percy, who truly heeded his mother's words. He made it all the way to that brickyard. It wasn't easy, I'll tell you. He was sweating like a pig by the time he got there. It was hard work. I could go all day up here. Such a big ham sometimes, huh? It was hard work, but it was well worth it as he built his house brick by brick, because as you good and well know, he was the only one who was truly ready when the wolf growled at his door. The other two, well, they simply lived for the moment, didn't they? They didn't think long term at all. And because they simply lived for the moment, a price was paid, wasn't it? And believe it or not, that is kind of what our reading today in 2 Corinthians 5 is all about. It is an encouragement. It is a warning from God, actually, that we are to think long term, that we are not just to live for the moment, but we are to live in light of eternity. The Bible is full of warnings like this, that we are to live in light of eternity. But my question for you is, are you? Are you living in light of eternity, or are you just living for the moment? Is it all about today? Which one of the three little pigs defines you when it comes to how you approach life and how you approach your relationship with God? Are you the one that built your house out of straw, sticks, or bricks? Let's dig into 2 Corinthians 5 and find out. We'll start with the first verse where the Apostle Paul says, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." It's a pretty neat verse. It's one you hear at funerals quite a bit, actually. And it's the Apostle Paul's way of saying this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, there is life beyond this world. What you're going through right now, it's just temporary. Even that body you're living in, he says, is temporary. He compares it to an earthly tent. And of course, the Apostle Paul would do this. He was very familiar with tents. In fact, the way that he funded the ministry of which he was a part, the way that those missionary journeys that he took place on were funded, in part was through his work as a tent maker. He made and repaired tents. And so he was very familiar with tents, and he could have been the first to tell you that even the nicest of tents, the most well-crafted of tents, they are temporary, and they eventually wear out. And he compares that tent to the bodies that we inhabit right now. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We truly are. Think about how amazing your body is, the fact that your eyes can see, the fact that your ears can hear. How incredible is that? But because sin has corrupted this world, our eyesight eventually fades. Our hearing eventually goes away. Our bodies wear out. A lot of us are experiencing that right now. Our bodies get rips. They get tears. They fall apart. And if Jesus tarries, if he doesn't return, eventually that earthly tent that we live in will be destroyed. We will all die, right? But thanks be to God, there is more to that verse than the first half. For though our earthly tent we live in will be destroyed, we have this incredible promise from God in the second half of the verse. We have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. This is the promise that something incredible happens because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because of Jesus Christ's work on the cross, there is more to what we're experiencing than the here and now. And those who receive the work of Jesus, they will have new heavenly bodies. They'll be permanent, by the way. They'll be far better than what you're experiencing right now. They won't rip, they won't tear, they won't fall apart. They'll glorify God with everything they do. And we'll also have a permanent heavenly and eternal home. And there is a way we should respond to this incredible good news. In light of the passage, it says that we make it our goal to please God. And in terms of the 10 verses in our passage, and even the portion before that in 2 Corinthians 4, it's all about pleasing God by not just living for the moment, but living in light of eternity. And so we've come full circle here, and I'll ask you that question again. Are you? Are you living in light of eternity? Which one of the three little pigs are you like when it comes to the way you approach life and the way you approach your relationship with God? Are you like that guy? Are you like Porky here? Remember, he heard the warning from his mother, but he acted in every way as if though he had received none. It was all about the here and now, all about living for the momentary pleasures. It was all about today. And if you're like this when it comes to your relationship with God, you're the person who ignores God's warning entirely to live in light of eternity. In fact, people like this act as if both God and that warning doesn't exist at all. We might label people like this atheists, right? But the Bible is pretty clear that there is no such thing as a true atheist. It says deep down in their hearts that everyone knows there's a God. It says this in Romans 1, 19 and 20 about those we might call atheists. It says they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. People have no excuse to build their house out of straw. They have no excuse to ignore God's call to spend time with him. They have no excuse to never live in light of eternity, asking God that big question, how can I be about your kingdom's purposes today? How can I be useful to you today? It's not good to be the pig that builds its house out of straw, is it? Perhaps you think it's better to be the pig that builds its house out of sticks like Petunia here did. Remember? She remembered her mother's warning and lived in light of that in part, right? It spurred her on to go a little bit farther. She made it all the way through the farmer's field to the edge of the woods. But then she looked back and saw what a good time Porky was having, and she wanted to be like him. And so she compromised. If you're like Petunia when it comes to how you approach life and your relationship with God, maybe your life looks different than your non-Christian friends and family and neighbors sometimes, but not that often. Maybe it looks different on Sunday mornings and maybe some Wednesday evenings during Lent. You compromise a decent amount between what God wants and what the world wants. You mostly live for the moment. The Bible actually has a term for Christians that do this. They would call them lukewarm. Lukewarm Christians. And I read a book this week that really I thought did a great job describing the lukewarm Christian. It said this is someone who rarely shares their faith with their neighbors, coworkers, or friends. They love their luxuries and rarely give to the poor in a truly sacrificial way. They aren't enthusiastic about their faith. It doesn't mean that much to them. It doesn't really define who they are. They don't live by their faith. Their lives are structured so they don't have to. They give God their leftovers, not their first and best. They mostly live for today. They play that comparison game, right? That's what Petunia did. She looked back at Porky and thought, well, at least Mama will be happier than she is with him when she comes to see me. And some Christians do that. They say, well, at least I'm a little better than that person over there, and maybe God will give me some credit for that. Lukewarm Christians. And then this book kind of put the nail in the coffin with its final description here. It says, in a spiritual sense, it being lukewarmness is a picture of indifference and compromise. It tries to play the middle, too hot to be cold and too cold to be hot. And I'll tell you something. God doesn't really think too highly of lukewarm behavior. In fact, it's something, according to Revelations 3, that he wants to huff and puff and spit out. It says here, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. The truth is, empty religion that is a compromise between what God wants and what the world wants, it's about as useless as a lukewarm beverage like lukewarm coffee. I don't know who drinks their coffee hot here, who drinks it cold, but most people don't drink it somewhere in the middle, right? When your hot coffee gets cold, it gets disgusting. When your iced coffee melts, it becomes pretty vile, doesn't it? No, it's better to be hot or cold, and more useful, actually, according to this passage here. And the truth is, when we look at what happens to those two houses, the house of straws and the house of sticks, they ultimately produce the same results, don't they? They don't build something that's going to stand the test of time. And the truth is, atheism and lukewarm Christianity, they produce about the same result. No, it's far best to be like Percy the pig who built his house out of bricks. He didn't take the easy way out. He never compromised. Are you like Percy when it comes to your relationship with Jesus and how you approach this world? Well, ask yourself this. Do you never compromise? Does your life look radically different because of your relationship with Jesus? Are you always eternal-minded? Do you always ask that question, what would God's will be for me in this situation? Do you always put your relationship with God first? I don't know about you. That doesn't describe me. And I'm guessing it doesn't describe anyone here. There are times when we all compromise. There are times when our lives look an awful lot like our non-Christian neighbors, friends, and family. There are times we're not eternal-minded. There are days, maybe weeks, where we don't ask that question, how can I be about your kingdom's purposes today? There are certainly times when we don't put our relationship with God first. It's pretty clear that this only describes one person, and it's no one in this room. That describes Jesus, right? He was the one who truly built the house out of bricks. He was always asking God that question, what would your will be for me in this situation? He never compromised. He never cast his pearls before swine, if you will, trying to impress his non-Christian neighbors. He was always eternal-minded. You know whose eternity he was thinking about? Yours. It was all about you. That's why he did what he did on the cross, so that he could have an eternal relationship with you, one that starts now and lasts forever. And that's how you're saved. You're saved through the work of Jesus alone. If you've ever read the whole way through the Three Little Pigs, at least in most versions, you know that Porky and Petunia don't get exactly what they deserve, do they? No, they're saved in the end because they received Percy's invitation to come into his house of bricks. And that's the same way our bacon is saved as well, if you will. We are saved through the work of Jesus Christ alone. Everything that we do, our works, it amounts to a useless pile of sticks and straws. And there's one way we should respond to that in light of this message today, and it's actually what we've been talking about this whole time here. It's my very important point. You should respond to Christ's eternal love for you by living in light of eternity. Respond by doing things that make an eternal difference. And so as we close out this message, that's the last question. How do you live in light of eternity? Well, we could go on here for a bit, but first, and this is the most important thing, if you want to live in light of eternity, you spend time with God each and every day in worship, in prayer, in his word. In fact, John 17:3 says this, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know the Father." Eternal life is a relationship with God that starts now and lasts forever. And as you spend time with God, ask him that question. How can I be useful to you today? How can I be about your kingdom's purposes? And then listen. See if he responds in his word. See if he responds to you in prayer. See if he responds to you through another person. And then do those things. But when you fail and sin and compromise, and we all do that sometimes, once again, receive his invitation to come into that house of grace, love, mercy, forgiveness. And when you fail, hear the words of Jesus that he spoke to his disciples. John 14:1-3, he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." What an incredible promise that is. God has built the house for you. May you respond to the work of Jesus Christ by living in light of eternity today and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.